So a husband and wife had this fancy special event that they had to go to for the husband's job. And the night of the event came, and the husband eventually found himself downstairs pacing and looking at his watch, right? And so after a time, he couldn't stand it anymore. So he goes to the stairs and he yells up to his wife, "Honey, if you are not ready by now, you need to get ready because we're going to be late." The wife yells down and says, "Hun, I've been telling you for the last half an hour, I'll be ready in a minute." I knew that was going to be a bad joke because the ladies are wondering where the punchline is. And men, you've all lived it and you don't dare laugh at it. But that, I thought I was going to get an amen over here, but that's okay. We'll save that, right? And here's the thing. Being ready is, in some ways, perspective, right? I will tell you, even within my own house, for me, when I say I am ready, it means when I get up and say, "Let's go," we're straight to the car, right? No, obviously not. If I ask Tristan if he's ready, ready means that you don't have to have your socks and shoes on. Yesterday, but I know this will be a shocker. Part of my job in my household is to rally the troops and make sure we're getting out the door. So yesterday, I was rallying the troops, and I look at Ryan, and I said, "Are you ready?" He's like, "Yeah." He didn't have his shoes on. You don't even remember that, do you? Because their perspective of readiness is vastly different to mine. And again, I know I blame that on my parents. I'm a time freak. But when Dad wants to go, we need to go. And it's not just what truly constitutes or what I think readiness is versus other people. I also think there's a difference of opinion on whether we need it or not. Some people seem to believe that being prepared is for the paranoid. You know what? Just life's going to roll. You take it and you kind of figure it out and you roll with it. The other extreme are those people that feel like they have to plan for every possible contingency out there, right? To be prepared for absolutely everything. You know who you are. There's some of you in, you know, absolutely everything. Now, obviously, it depends on what you're planning for, if it's a major thing or it's a minor thing. I like to believe that there's a happy medium where, you know, flying by the seat of your pants and pulling stuff off, there's a place for that. But there's also a place for preparedness, but not so much so that you drive yourself crazy because every contingency out there, you have to have a plan because you waste a lot of time because there's often a lot of stuff that never happens and you wasted your time preparing for it. So there's that happy medium. But when it comes to issues of faith, I would argue that by and large, God wants us to be ready. And I think we see that in his word, and I think his word shows us some very specific places where this is true. Now, as a pastor, if I were to ask you if you're ready, most of your minds are going to the big ready, right? Are you ready to meet Jesus? Because we understand that tomorrow is promised to no man. You know, and even if we don't think about that truth every day, we live under that shadow. And I think there are days that we are reminded of how fragile this life really is. And the fact that one phone call, one moment in time can change the entire trajectory of your life or your week or your day. I mean, just one moment. And we don't like living in that mindset because, man, we'll just be a nervous wreck. So we like the idea that, okay, we can plan that out, but life is fragile. And so we do have that idea of absolutely being ready at any moment. James 4, 13 and 14. "Come now and you say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such or town and spend a year there doing business and making money. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." And look, this is not some hippie theology that says, look, just take a day at a time, don't worry about anything, don't plan anything, just kind of roll with it. That's not what James is saying here. He's talking about a life perspective because here's the thing, life, death. My mom turned 73 on Monday and I called her up like a good son would and she said, "I don't know how I got here." I mean, when you've landed in your 70s, I think you're looking back going, there's more behind than there is ahead. How in the world did I get here? So this life and death and all that, I mean, none of us are promised tomorrow. Every day we need to be, and as morbid as this seems to be, at least at a secular level, and when we're young, we don't like to think about this until, you know, something comes and shocks our system, but we need to be living in the contingency that on any given day, we might stand before Jesus. And it's, again, it's not some morbid thing, it's wisdom. Why? Because that truth gives perspective. That truth brings us focus. It brings the focus in life, what life is truly all about. I mean, how many distractions do we deal with on any given day? Just normal life stuff, from your job to your family to even just driving around, the price of gas. I mean, all that stuff gets swirled around, but when we hold it in the light of eternity, it's meaningless. Perspective is where are we at with Jesus Christ? Are we ready to meet him face to face at a moment's notice? Nobody knows when our time comes besides our Father. And not only that, we live in the reality of this. 1 Corinthians 15:51 and 52. Listen, I will tell you a mystery. We will not all die, but we will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. Here's the reality. The reality for all of us that have accepted Christ is the hope that which we grasp onto and live in, that Jesus Christ is coming back someday. So maybe he's not just coming back for you, which again, whether he comes back for you or comes back for all of us, it does not change the fact that we need to be found ready. Incredibly important. And here's the kicker. One of those verses that I don't entirely get in the Bible. Matthew 24:36. But about the day and the hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. You ever wonder why God the Father has included Jesus in on this? I mean, he's sitting right there at the right hand, right? Is Jesus not trustworthy with that information? I don't know. I don't get this one. And yet here we see the truth, that the fact that someday God's going to turn to his Son and say, saddle up. It's time to go get my children. And everything will change. I love that. In a twinkling of an eye, how long does it take you to blink? I mean, come on. Everything will change. And here's the other, I mean, we understand this. And Jesus at one point said, what? I'm coming like a thief in the night. When? When no one expects it. How many people in America think that the sky is going to split and Jesus is going to come back? Probably we're not too excited about the percentages. I will say even within the church, so often we've lived because every generation before us thought they were going to be the generation that was going to see Christ. And yet here we are 2,000 years. And there are days that I think, man, it's good with me, Lord. You know, I got some stuff next week I really don't care to do. So if you want to come back, I will tell you early on in my ministry, I would just tell Jesus I'm ready. And then Beth found out about it and she didn't like that because she thought I was trying to skip out on her and the kids. So then I lumped all the rest of you in it and said, Jesus, today would be a great day just to come back. But we live in that truth like a thief in the night when people don't expect. The bottom line here is whether Jesus coming back for you with your personal appointment with the Creator, or you know what, he's coming back for all of us, we need to live ready for that moment, because when that moment comes, everything changes. Yes, there are some people at the end that get a luxury of realizing that their time is coming and they can prepare themselves, but we don't have that guarantee. A year ago, what happened in Kalamazoo? There were two significant things. People out for a leisurely bike ride, eternity came. People around town shopping for a car out at a restaurant, eternity came. None of those people woke up that morning and thought, it's done. I guarantee it. And yet that's the reality that we live in, so we must be prepared. Again, it's not some morbid thing. It's to remind us that we need to live ready. But before you get too comfortable and go, okay, Pastor Todd, I'm ready with those. I know where I am with Jesus, whether he calls me home or calls us all home, I'm ready for that day. Well, the Bible doesn't just end there with the idea of readiness. Now, that first verse I read to you was out of James, and I think he knew his Old Testament pretty well, because when you look at the book of Proverbs, it almost looks like he's quoting it. Proverbs 27:1. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. Now again, I've touched on that possibility that, man, tomorrow might come and everything changes and we might be there quicker than we care to be. But the other part of that, that second part of the verse, you do not know what a day may bring. That's true for everything, not just eternity. You might think you have your agenda set out for tomorrow. You might think you have it all planned out. And man, it might be entirely different than what you think. And here's the thing. God doesn't tend to always tip us off at the kingdom opportunities that we're going to be faced, right? We'd like that, right? That I know on Thursday I'm going to come across someone and they're going to have a question about Jesus, so I'm going to study up now so I am ready on Thursday. No, we don't get that. Those kingdom opportunities, what? All of a sudden you're standing there going, crap. Man, Lord, you need to help me out here because I know where this discussion is going and I am totally uncomfortable with this. But I think this is a God moment. Are we prepared for those kind of things? Because here's the thing. If you are serious about following Jesus Christ, these moments are going to come your way. Ephesians 2:10. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. Do you understand what this verse is telling us? Little short verse, but there's an incredible a lot of truth in here. Number one, life is not about you. If you have come to the cross, if you have received what Jesus Christ has given you, the ability to have a right relationship with the Father through the blood of Jesus Christ, then what? You have been made what? Something entirely new. For who? Not for you. He doesn't say, hey, I'm going to make you new, go enjoy your life. Jesus Christ, you were made for Jesus Christ. And then we see that second part. Prepared beforehand. And this is not some vague, broad concept. Right, guess what? The Great Commandment and the Great Commission. That's for all of you. I don't care how you try to dodge it. I don't care how you try to justify it. If you are not loving your neighbor and God, and you're not spreading Jesus Christ, you are blowing it on a certain level. But this is talking about prepared beforehand. Think about this. Before creation, there you are in God's mixing bowl when he's throwing in your personality and all that stuff. He's going to go, look, I know this is going to be my child. And get this. I'm going to give him some possibilities for opportunities for the kingdom. God loved you enough because he doesn't need your help. Yet he knows that when you give your life to him, when you serve him, when you fulfill God's purposes, what a blessing it is for you. He doesn't need our help. And so that idea that God creates these things, and then look at that last line, to be your what? Way of life. This isn't some add-on. It's not like I'm out, I'm doing all this stuff. No, God gives you this little possibility for a kingdom thing. I go and I step through. I got that done. I put it on the shelf. And I just get on way with, no. Created in Christ Jesus for good works that God prepared for you before the moment to be your way of life. Are you ready to live this out? Are you ready to embrace every kingdom opportunity that rolls your way? And here's the tough part. I think for us. I mean, life is about so many different things. We allow so many different things. They're not all bad. I mean, again, if God blesses us for 80, whatever the average lifespan is now, 80 years, he wants us to be involved with our family. He wants us to do good work. He wants us to do, you know, these different things. And yet we have to prioritize God. Our hearts need to be toward him. Our eyes need to be focused on him. We need to be ready to achieve God's business first. Not when you can squeeze it in. Not when it's convenient. God calls us that kingdom. I mean, this is part. Yes, you were transformed by Jesus Christ because you couldn't have a relationship with God. That's a part of it. But the other part, what we just saw here, created for good works to be your way of life. The Bible shows us another important concept in John. John 9:4, we must work the works, again, coming right off of Ephesians, of him who sent me while it is day, and this is Jesus Christ talking, night is coming when no one can work. Kingdom opportunities aren't forever. The sad fact is with the wonderful thing of free will that God has given us, a kingdom opportunity might roll your way, and you have the right to refuse. You have the right to just let that go by. Now, God might still work and probably will still work in those situations, but you have blown an opportunity to bless, be blessed by that possibility to do what God has called us to do. And again, if we're blessed with 80 years, that's fantastic, but what you can do for the kingdom now is not available forever. Just like us, those things have an expiration date. Yes, when we get to the other side, we're going to have new and different opportunities to be able to worship God and do things, but there are specific things that we can only do while we are here. Are you ready for them? And here's the thing. Readiness doesn't just magically happen. You have to want it. You have to work for it. That's true in life as well as in our spiritual walk. It takes effort. It takes thought. It takes desire. Yes, you know, for some of us, there are things in life that we're just talented by, so readiness just means showing up because we can pull it off. I would dare say that doesn't work in the spiritual realm. I don't think you can just show up. Now, again, if you're in a situation you're not prepared for and God wants something to happen, you're open to the Holy Spirit, He can pull something off that's way beyond you. But by and large, the Bible calls us to be working on our hearts, working on our minds, allowing the Holy Spirit to transform us. Because we don't know when our night is coming. And again, we see this. I mean, think about it. Military preparedness, right? Our military works hard on training, so when and if the thing comes, they are prepped and ready, right? Well, if they've done it once, they should be set for the next 5 years, right? Just, hey, you went through your training, you're good to go. Doomsday preppers. And you ever met any of those individuals? They are interesting characters. They just don't let their bunker go. They got to keep making sure there's gas in their generators, their food is ready to go, their water filtration systems are working, because when the doom days come, they are prepped and ready to crawl in there and survive for the next 5 years and just let the rest of us. I mean, readiness is a moving target. You can be ready today, and 3 days from now, your readiness might be gone. So we need to be on top of it. We need to be vigilant, making sure our hearts and minds are turned toward God and we are ready for anything He offers or invites us into. Now, the Bible also shows us some pretty specifics about being ready. 1 Peter 3:15. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. So what is this verse telling? At any given moment, whether a pastor or a straight pagan heathen comes up and says, hey, what do you believe? You better be able to answer that question pretty good. Why do you believe? Now, I'm not saying you have to be able to answer every question out there, because we know there's apologetics, and there are just some individuals that aren't really interested in your relationship with Christ. They just want to try to make you look foolish or all that. But I would argue that's a small percentage. Most of the people in our lives are respectful, and if we want to share, but Peter's telling us to be ready to answer, to be able to talk about your faith. Bare minimum, I would encourage you to do this. If you have nothing, if you've done nothing else, be prepared to do this. 3 minutes. What you were like before Jesus, how you came to Jesus, and what difference it's made now. I would argue every Christian should at least be able to do that. This is what my life was like before. This is how Jesus Christ and His love caught me, and now this is the difference it makes. People can't argue with that. If you can't do that today, you need to prepare. You need to be ready. And hear that last part of that verse, with gentleness and respect. So by and large, I don't think too many people are argued into heaven. Now again, I think there's a place for apologetics. I think there are those individuals that we might need to go toe-to-toe for. But that is, again, I think you can still do it with gentleness and respect. But by and large, people want to hear your heart. They want to hear that you care. And why Jesus Christ matters. So we're not beating people with that. We are inviting, we are engaging them with the love of Jesus Christ. Now, before I let this one go, I just want to point out one thing here because I know how some of you work. Now, the first thing says, always be prepared to give an answer. So there's a concept then that says, well, Pastor Todd, if people aren't asking me, I'm off the hook. I'm prepared, but if people don't ask me, well, I would say, well, A, if people aren't asking you, maybe you better look at your life a little bit. Or let's go to this next verse, 2 Timothy 4:2. Proclaim the message. Be persistent whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. Convince, rebuke, encourage with the utmost patience and teaching. persistent in times when it is favorable or unfavorable. Look, this should hit, I would say, everybody sitting in here who's serious about our faith. I think too many of us, we kind of have this deal with God. Again, we're looking for those opportunities. And if you're even bold enough to be praying for those opportunities that God gives us to share our faith, and yet we're waiting for the perfect setup, aren't we? Like Jesus Christ actually picks up his phone and says, all right, this is the one. You're at lunch. You're sitting across the table. I have prepped this guy. All you got to do is speak up, and he's ready to go. Those are great moments. But I would say, by and large, no, I don't have a phone with Jesus. It's a metaphor. But when you just know that the Holy Spirit's working, and you just, man, you feel it, and the words came, and man, it was just a God moment. By and large, we don't get tipped off like that, and there's not a perfect time. So what we have to do is we have to prepare ourselves to either sometimes maybe force the issue, to be willing to push through that awkward comment of, hey, what about this? Or at least learn how to turn the conversation towards spiritual matters. You know, again, we've talked about this. Part of me feels like ad nauseum. But if someone goes, man, I am really struggling with X, Y, and Z, and they're sharing this with you, are you kidding me? That is an invitation if you recognize and say, man, you know what I have found that help? My faith, my church community. I mean, there are moments all the time if we're listening to them. But here, I mean, favorable or unfavorable, we need to be willing and ready to boldly ask or to boldly invite. Again, because if we're serious about our faith, if we're serious in following Jesus, if we're serious about becoming all that he wants you to be, then you need to be ready to proclaim the gospel, again, when it's convenient and even when it might not be. And this is for all of us. And when was the last time you did it? And I know that is an incredibly uncomfortable question. And if it's been a while, I would ask the question, why? Because I will argue, if you don't feel ready for this moment, then you need to get on it. You need to get serious. You need to get ready. Because you don't know when an opportunity that might influence and impact eternity might be staring you right in the face. Be ready. This is God's expectation for all of us. One last place the Bible tells us that we need to be ready. And honestly, as I watch our country continue to go on that trajectory, I think it is becoming increasingly important. It's Colossians 2:8. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit according to human traditions, according to the elemental spirits of the universe, and not according to Christ. What is this saying? You need to be able to discern truth. How many philosophies and stuff are out there that are meant to deceive us? Sadly, how many churches in America have drank the Kool-Aid and are going off the deep end and have moved away from the gospel of Jesus Christ, that there is no faith, there's no salvation outside of Jesus Christ alone? Are you smart enough when you come across philosophies and things that sound really good or almost sound like Jesus might have said them? Are you smart enough to be able to go, yeah, that's from the Word or it's not? Because guess what? I'm glad you're here on a Sunday morning. I'm glad you come and you pay attention to sermons, and my prayer always is that God speaks to them. But if you cannot discern and figure that stuff out, or at least know the source that you can run to, then you're cheating yourself. God gave you his word so that you would know his truth and be able to live in it. Again, there's so many things out there that are trying to steal your heart and to take your eyes off of Christ. And I will say this. Listening to a sermon twice a month or even once a week isn't enough. 20, 25 minutes a week is not enough to make you strong enough to stand against worldly philosophies. There's devotionals, there's Bible studies, whether in a group or online, there's men's group, there's women's group. You have a wonderful tool in Right Now Media. All these things prepare us for, give us a readiness to recognize and grasp truth. And this is vital because, again, if we're going to look into those back things of being prepared to proclaim the message, part of that launching is when we are faced with someone who is toting a life philosophy that is against God's word. To be able to gently and respectfully go, I understand your point, but let me share where I come at this and why. There is a huge need. There will continue to be a huge need in our country for people that can handle God's word in that way. So are you ready? Are you ready to meet Jesus? Are you ready to grasp and complete all those things that he has lovingly created for you to accomplish for him? Are you ready to give an answer for your faith, to proclaim truth, and also to recognize it? If you're here this morning and you answered no to any of those questions, I would encourage you that God loves you anyway, and he is here to help. And I would say, especially if you can't answer yes to that first one, then you need to talk to me afterwards, because none of us know what tomorrow brings. And if you are ready, if this was one of those just sermons that has encouraged you in your faith, then fantastic, but keep working at it. Stand firm in your faith. Keep prepping, because none of us know what tomorrow holds, whether it's our time with Jesus or an opportunity that could impact eternity. Be ready. Please pray with me. Our gracious Heavenly Father God, we thank you for your amazing love and your goodness and all that you do for us, Lord, things that we can't even comprehend. And Lord, as we once again were in your word and we're challenged by the truth there, Lord, I would ask that you would give us a growing desire for that readiness, that just day to day we would walk in your spirit looking for those opportunities to serve, that we would live in such a way that we are ready to see you face to face just all the time. And Lord, I would pray that if your spirit prompted some hearts and there are some people really thinking about that they're not ready, encourage them, Lord. Give them strength. Give them boldness. That they would take the steps and they would strive for the readiness that you call us to. And especially, Lord, if there are people that don't know you, I would ask that you would give them the boldness to come and to talk and just ask me, and Lord, that I'd be able to lead them to you. We live in an amazing world that we know is a gift, and yet it's broken. And so you have placed us here to be your soldiers, to be advancers of your kingdom. And we need to be ready to go. And so just continue to work in our hearts and minds. Continue to transform us into the image of your Son. And we pray that in his name. Amen.